I want you to turn up the gain on that cheap little Japanese radio you have there. If you really want to blow out the transistors, you know. Well, yeah, you have to do that. No, not yet. I'll just, you watch for hand cue. It'll be all right. Now, you have to do that occasionally. Maybe a lot of you people don't know that the transistors in a cheap radio need blowing out periodically the way sinuses need cleaning out. You didn't know that, huh? Turn up the gain on that cheap old radio of yours, and we'll blow the sinuses and the transistors right out for you. And then the radio will sound 50% better. We sound great. Turn up the gain. There, that was good. Doesn't that feel good? Let's try it again. Once more. Let's try it again. When you're ready. Oh, great. Now, once more, and then you're really going to get some fantastic tone. Bring it. Oh, just tremendous. That really felt good. You know, there's nothing like a good sneeze. In fact, how many times have you sat someplace and all of a sudden you felt this little tickling back in your, you know, way back in the recesses of your plumbing, and you felt like you were going to sneeze, and you felt it sneaking up on you, sneaking up, and then it would go back and go away, you know? Sneak away again. It drives me crazy. And then it would start coming back again. And then after a while, you get to the point where you would, you know, you just want the sneeze to come. You would welcome the sneeze. Totally. You want it to come. Now, there's two kinds of people. There are the people who fight sneezes, don't want to sneeze. You know, they do everything they can to stop from sneezing. I know some guys, you know, I know one guy, as a matter of fact, that any time he had a sneeze, he would take a hold of his nose with his thumb and his forefinger and hold it. Yeah, he didn't like to see go like that, you know, go. Well, one day he just went and he blew every fuse in his head. Smoke was coming out of his ears. You just can't do that, buddy. That's like the overload relay, right? You just blow everything up. Your transistors, your rectifiers, everything's gone after that. So if you're going to sneeze, let it out. Just let it out. There. That's great. You know, one of my favorite commercials is no longer on the air. You know, with this guy that looked like Oddjob? You remember Oddjob? Had that derby, and he'd throw it around and decapitate people with his derby. I'd love to have a derby like that. Wow. And he'd throw it, and it would go... Remember, it would make a whistling sound. Well, you remember the guy that looked like Oddjob? He'd come home, and he'd bow to his wife or something. She was very... beautiful-looking oriental lady. He'd bow to her, and all of a sudden he'd go, and the whole house would start falling down. Oh, there. They just don't make commercials like that. Now you have ladies, you know, walking around squeezing the Charmin. Oh, well. Oh, well. I mean, we still have the White Tornado. That's always good. I mean, when all things fail, you got the White... speaking of White Tornadoes, we have a lot of commercials. And by the way, for those of you who have wondered about this, it is not our doing that there are thousands of commercials. It is the price of a radio station's commercial success. And it's, you know, after all, it pays the bills, it keeps your speaker cone rattling, and does all that stuff. But tonight I have a very special type of show I'm going to do. I have to do this. Just, you know, once in a while I feel like I have to do a public service. You know, a real public service. Just fling your body down in front of the juggernaut of time. It was kind of nice, wasn't it? Maybe we better clear up the sinuses again. You really like that, don't you? I'll tell you, it really blows the dust out of the transmitter around here, you know, after hours of John gambling. We need something. Now it just blows, you know, it just goes... Oh, wow. Oh, you ought to see the final tubes. Oh, the overload relays, the VU meters. Anyway, all that is beside the point. Before we go any further tonight, I think I ought to warn you that tonight's program is in the nature of a public service. Now, public service stuff is generally very dull. You know, it's like a story about the latest advances in muscular therapy for guys that have got triple feature paralysis from watching too many movies and drive-ins. You know that a guy showed up in a hospital not too long ago in Miami Beach, Florida, just outside of Miami. It's in Dade County down there, and he has a new modern disease. You know, it's a kind of disease you just don't get unless you're really a 20th century man. He was carried into the emergency ward after watching 6 movies in one of these gigantic multiple screen. Have you seen the multiple screen drive-ins? We have, you know, 34 screens all over the place. And this guy went in there one night just at dusk, and he was taken out at 2 o'clock in the morning after he had seen 6 consecutive features, and there was only one thing wrong with him. He was completely eaten down to the bone with Miami Beach sand fleas that had come in his car. Yeah, he's sitting there, and you know, hour after hour, and especially since the first 3 films that he watched, maybe this is significant, I don't know, the first 3 films that he watched were Disney films, you know, about life among the lovable grizzlies, you know, that kind of thing, or you too can love a saber-toothed tiger, you know, the anthropomorphic films, you know, Disney. Disney has only 2 kinds of films. He has a lovable otter who, you know, just for the sake of a few misplaced genes, would have been the other hero of all Disney films. A lovable, red-haired, freckle-faced lad. Those 2 people show up in all their films there. And you can interchange the animal. He can be a dachshund. He can be a hooded cobra. You know, the hooded cobra that learned to read. You know, that would be a great thing. The little hooded cobra that went to school with Donnie, the little red-headed boy, and all the other kids mistakenly thought that the hooded cobra was evil, when we all know all animals in Disney are not evil at all. It's man that's evil, right? Only grown-up men, grown-up people. As a matter of fact, any animal will tell you that the real danger to animal life is kids. Kids kill everything that moves for miles around. But see, they've reversed it all in Disney. It's always the kid that's protecting the hooded cobra. And there's an evil guy played by Keenan Wynn who shows up and says, "I'm going to kill that hooded cobra! I saved hooded cobra!" You know, that sounds like him, doesn't it? That's my Keenan. Well, I'm one of the few guys that ever take Keenan Wynn. And one of my favorite roles that Keenan Wynn ever played was one time he played a role in the Bob Newhart show. And Bob Newhart is a psychologist, you see, in the show, and he went back to see his old teacher. You know, Newhart, after all, is a psychologist, see, and he was feeling that he was kind of hitting a plateau in his work, and he was kind of despondent, and he wanted to go back to get the old fire, you know, back at the university and see this great man who had once been his mentor and who had been guiding his life and it was because of this great mentor that he had become a psychologist. Well, you know, in every university, and no matter how cockamamie the school is, there's one teacher who's considered to be the grand old man of Greek 101. You've known that type, you know, and everybody goes to his house on Sundays and eats chocolate chip cookies, and his wife has his cheap wine she gives him, and Dr. Grubbage sits around and regales his students with his funny songs, which he has written in Greek. And he plays his guitar. You know that type, right? Well, Newhart goes back. Newhart goes back to see his mentor. Well, I don't recall the mentor's name, but he had some great name like Dr. Bullard. And he goes back to see Dr. Bullard. He takes the week off and he goes back to his school. Well, he comes into Dr. Bullard's office and who is it but Keenan Wynn with a beard, looking real mad. Keenan Wynn is sitting there at his desk. He's got all these books all around him. And Dr. Newhart, what is Bob Newhart's name? Quick, that's right, Dr. Hartley. I'm just, you know, I keep my people up on these Americana things. Dr. Hartley shows up, and he's announced. And the girl says, there is a Dr. Robert Hartley here to see you. She says, who? She says, a Dr. Robert Hartley. Dr. Hartley, who's that? She says, well, he's one of your old students. Hartley? I never heard of him. Well, at that point, they bring Dr. Hartley in, see, and here he is. And first, Keenan Wynn doesn't recognize him, which really crushes Dr. Hartley to begin with, because he always thought of himself as Dr. Keenan Wynn's favorite pupil. You know, he singled Newhart out of the whole class. So he says, gee, how are you, Dr. Bullard? It's certainly great to be back here. Who are you? He says, well, Bob Hartley. Don't you remember me? Bob Hartley? Class of 57, Bob Hartley? Oh, yeah. You lost the rest of your hair. Well, that was a great start. You lost the rest of your hair. At which point, he says to Dr. Bullard, Dr. Bullard, I just want to tell you, I come back, I'm out practicing today, you know, I'm a psychologist, and I'm practicing, and I came back for a little inspiration, and I just wanted to hear your voice and to inspire me to greater and better work again. And Dr. Bullard looked at him, a long, hard look.
What kind of crap is this?
At that point, Dr. Hartley says, well, gee, Dr. Bullard, I came back for inspiration to reinstill in me the spirit of a psychologist healing the wounded souls of the 20th century. Our calling is only next to the priesthood. And I want to be reinstilled with that great drive and that tremendous motivation which you gave to me as a budding young psychologist in your classes back in the class of 57, Dr. Bullard, sir. And he thought about this for a minute. Dr. Bullard says,
you know what I think about psychology?
At which point, you know, Dr. Hartley was waiting to get this great word of advice and inspiration about psychology. At which point, Dr. Bullard says,
it's all a bunch of bunk! Bunk! That's what it is, bunk!
But at that point, Dr. Hartley is staggered. He says, well, Dr. Bullard, please, what is there in life? What does count?
He don't tell you what counts? Golf! The only thing that makes sense, golf! You got to work on your backswing, especially your irons, the middle game. That's what counts. Golf.
Let's clear the sinuses. Oh, very good. This is WOR New York. I said again, WOR New York. WOR New York, I say again. And that, of course, means commercials. Oh, you don't have it? Oh, I've got to clear the sinuses again, please. After all that, we sure have to clean the sinuses out. Once more, Jim, please. Please. Oh, wow, that was something else again. Walking Montgomery Ward catalog here. Hey, you know, before we do any, you know, further procrastinating here, let's get right down to the public service that we promised you. Now, I'm constantly, as anybody is in media, deluged with all kinds of letters from various PR concerns, you know, always telling you, we think that this would be a perfect thing for your program. Do you realize that this is the week that celebrates the International Pea Pickers? We have pea pickers from all over the country who would be delighted to come and, you know, that kind of thing. See, you get this. You have one more? You mean there's another one laying around on the floor you'd like to play? Oh, goody. It's that damn nitrogen. Holy smoke. Don't tell me I've got listeners who worry about lawns. That's a scary thought, I'll tell you. I have this friend. It's the beginning already, you know. It's springtime. Oh, wow. Am I glad it's spring. Oh, I hate winter. I hate winter like I hate cold sores. You know, it's a thing you accept, really. You know, you don't hate cold sores like, say, for example, you hate cancer or something like that. You know, cold sores is just something you just kind of rotten, right? You know, you'll put up with it. But you're not going to contribute to the Jerry Lewis stamp out cold sore annual telethon, right? I mean, you know, although I think more than one person would be delighted to send it his bill. However, it's spring, see, and and whenever spring comes around, and like a nest of what is it? A nest of something in your hair? What is it? There's a nest of it's not wrens. It's some kind of birds. Well, you know, a tree standing out there has a nest of parakeets in its head. No, that's not true. A nest of crows? No. Nest of buzzards? No. Oh, well, that's immaterial. We don't like to bother you with literary questions at this hour. However, as an observer of the scene, I have to report that I have a friend. Every time spring comes around, he begins to talk about his power lawnmower. And the power lawnmower syndrome will last the entire summer. Every time I see him, I say, "How you doing, Frank?" He says, "I don't know. It's got a knock." I say, "Frank, I ask you, how you doing? How you doing?" I don't know. The damn thing is burning more gas. I don't know what's the matter. And I got to get the blade sharpened again. I said, "Frank, will you stop it with the power lawnmower?" He says, "What do you mean? How can I stop it? That power lawnmower owns me. I don't own it. It owns me. Because every weekend I'd love to get out and drive it." Well, I know one guy that, in fact, you know that they're starting power lawnmower gymkhanas now over in certain areas of Jersey and suburbia. You know what a gymkhana is? It's a competition. Well, you know what a gymkhana is. You've seen skiing gymkhanas where they skate around balloons and barrels. Well, you ought to see a power lawnmower gymkhana with 8 horsepower, power limitations, including the, cut grass blowers. That's pretty exciting. However, I don't want to get into that. I must go into my public service, and I'm going to do it now. I got this letter. It's a great big box with all kinds of stuff in the mail. It says, "Shepard, do you realize that that it is the 66th anniversary this year of the Boy Scouts of America?" And, that's the kind of thing that occasionally say, "Ho, ho, hum." And so he says, "Yes, the 66th anniversary of the Boy Scouts of America, and what could be more American than for you to salute the Boy Scouts? Would you please give me a little of that American music, that little, the next one?" That's right. I thought that. Well, this is the Stars and Stripes Forever. We're saluting the Boy Scouts. Now, the Boy Scout bosses won't like this salute, but every Boy Scout I know is going ape. He's got his little tape recorder ready. He's taping the salute to the Boy Scouts. Hooray for Rose Crowd. Hooray for Crew 38. Hooray for Crew 9 and 10. 17 and 106. Hooray, hooray for the Beaver Patrol. And the Moose and the Elk and the Weasel. Hooray for the Sheep Shank Mouth. I love the Bolide and the Birds and the Bees. That's the salute to the Boy Scouts on their 66th anniversary. Hooray for the Woodcraft Merit Badge. Do you know that you can get, speaking of merit badges, so I always keep on my vast bookshelf of reference material the Boy Scout Handbook. Oh, yes. You can find out all kinds of things. For example, you can find out which way is north by reading your handbook. And a lot of guys I know, especially after, you know, 6 or 7 hours at Michael's Pub, would give almost anything to know which way is north. And they have a hell of a time. I know one guy that walked east, I mean, for 18 blocks till his hat was floating. Now, if he had known which way was north, it would not have happened. Now, the Boy Scout handbook gives you that information. For example, do you know that which side of the tree does the moss grow on, class? The south side? The west side? You have four choices. It's a multiple choice question. The east side? Or is the north side? Which is it? You can fill out your test there, A, B, C, and D. Okay, now I'll ask you another question. A Boy Scout is always, now here you have your choice, A, afraid of the dark, B, mad at everybody, C, ready for any action at any time, D, always prepared. Which is a Boy Scout? You don't know? Well, a Boy Scout is always prepared. In fact, that is the Boy Scout's motto. I am prepared. How do you think that I got where I am? As an ex-Boy Scout, I've always kept that in the forefront of my consciousness, whenever I was conscious. See, I'd drag it out, and I'd read that again. It says, you are prepared. Now, they never say what you're prepared for. Now, there's a lot of stuff I haven't been exactly prepared for. But, you know, I do the best I can as an ex-Boy Scout. And the Boy Scouts had a very strong influence on me, really, seriously. And this guy has the temerity, whoever this guy is, he's a Boy Scout public relations representative. Didn't know the Boy Scouts had a public relations representative, did you? How would they do? Now, I bet the Girl Scouts do, and the Campfire Girls, and the Little Elks of Western America have, the Odd Fellows, they all have a PR man now. And this PR man says, if you'd like to know anything about scouting, call me. Buddy, I can tell you more about scouting. I'll bet any money you're like most PR men. You weren't even a scout, I'll bet. Oh, yeah, I know one of my friends is a PR man for a big boat firm. You know, big boats? I mean, he is a PR man for a company that makes 50-foot boats. Beautiful boats. This guy is pathologically, psychologically afraid of all water. He does not even take baths. And people are always writing him questions about boats. Yeah. Well, of course, our society is filled with the non-experts, like asking a priest about marriage. You know, people are always doing that, too. So I never could figure that out, you know. But nevertheless, the facts of life are, I could tell you a few things about scouting. And he goes on to say, of course, this is city scouting. As if, you know, that's a special thing. I was a city Boy Scout. Now, I don't know what it would be like to be a country Boy Scout, you know, where you can really do the stuff that you read about in the handbook. For those of you who have not been reading the handbook recently, do you know they have a new merit badge called Communication Merit Badge? And one of the requirements for the Communications Merit Badge is the kid has to make his own 60-second commercial and deliver it, say, before the troop, I guess. And, you know, they all sit there and I guess they grade him on it. But I like the idea of a kid delivering a commercial as part of the Boy Scout Communication Merit Badge. You know, the kids, I can see the old man, you know, showing up in the morning. He's going to shave, see, and he rushes into the bathroom. And there's this kid, his freckled-faced, red-haired kid, standing in front of the mirror, holding up a Gillette Track 2 razor. See? And he's saying things like, yes. It cuts smoothly, without pull. No razor burn, no razor. Kids, get out of my way, I gotta shave! Kid says, oh, Dad, I'm practicing my merit badge. I'm sorry, Jim, but that's... Now, as a kid, though, and all Boy Scouts are theoretically kids, I'm gonna show you how smart I am as an ex-Boy Scout. Now, I am giving... For the benefit of those of you out there in the outer precincts, I'm giving you now the Boy Scout salute. Correct? That is the Boy Scout salute, right? Now, the Boy Scout salute, of course, certain troops, in fact, in my troop, Troop 41, the Boy Scouts had an underground salute, which we used to give occasionally. For example, I'll never forget when Troop 41 played Troop 23 in basketball. We had a basketball team in our troop. And a whole bunch of the kids from Troop 41 sat around in the upper reaches of the Warren G. Harding Gym where we played this basketball game, giving the Troop 41 special Boy Scout salute to Troop 23. Until finally Mr. Gordon came up and threw about six kids out of the gym. But our salute was very much like the salute which Ted Williams is famous for once giving out of the dugout. Did you know that Ted Williams once gave a very famous salute to the fans? Oh, yes. He was just way ahead of himself. If any ball player ever gave that today on national TV with Kurt Gowdy describing it, the guy would be overnight starring in every major porny film in the business. But Ted Williams did. You know, he's a famous thing. So I am going to show you how impressed the Boy Scouts dealt with my brain, how impressively they dealt. I still remember the Boy Scout oath. Do you remember the Boy Scout oath? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. That was the Boy Scout oath. I even remember the Cub Scout oath. You want to hear the Cub Scout oath? See, you know, a Cub Scout, you belong to a Cub pack. A wolf pack, like you have this little blue hat. I have one of these little blue hats with a triangle on it, yellow thing. I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God and my country, to be square and to obey the law of the pack. And then you used to howl like a wolf. Yeah, wolf pack. That's right, they'd howl. Did you ever hear them do that? Yeah, well, we had a really dynamic troop. And one of the great experiences, though, that I had as a Boy Scout, I owe some of the... Now, you want to know what a Boy Scout troop is like in the city? Okay, well, here was a typical project. Mr. Gordon was our scoutmaster, and I was in the Moose Patrol. And we had a junior patrol leader, we had a patrol leader. I'll bet you don't remember what the insignia of the patrol leader is. He wears a little patch. A little green, yeah, right? Okay. So one day, Mr. Gordon said at our troop, he says, we're going to have this big project. And this Saturday, fellas, this Saturday, we're going to really go over the top here in Troop 41. Beginning at 8 a.m. Saturday morning and continuing through 6 p.m. that Sunday night, Troop 41 with my brother's pickup truck and my brother-in-law's pickup truck, we're going to drive all over town and collect old newspapers, at which point we will sell these newspapers to buy something really special for Boy Scout Troop 41. And that's what we did. We drove around all day long. Do you ever do it? You remember any projects you were in? And we were in these trucks, see? Mr. Gordon's brother-in-law was kind of a fat guy that smelled of beer. It's kind of a funny. And he had this big Dodge truck. And me and Schwartz and Flick and Bruner and Jack Martin and Stanley Roper, all the guys from the troop, were sitting in the back of the truck. And we went to each block. We'd drive to a block, and we would fan out like locusts. And we would go up on the steps of each house. Each kid would take about three houses and went up, and you'd knock on the door. See? And the door would open. Each kid was wearing, by the way, what part of a Boy Scout uniform he had. Now, there was only about six kids in the troop. They had the whole, you know, the whole tick. Now, I had a hat. Boy, a really great Boy Scout hat. And I had a neckerchief. You know, the neckerchief. And our troop's colors was gold and purple. And I had this head of a mountain goat, which I had carved as one of my wood carving things, to make a neckerchief slide. See, and I'd go up and knock on the door. And I'll never forget. About 8 a.m., we started out. About 8:05, I ran into my first reef in the seas of soliciting for free papers, knocking the door. I knock on the door. You know, kids are very persistent. You know, a real civilized person will knock on the door, and if he knocks twice and nobody shows up, he goes. But a kid won't, you know. A kid goes, you know, like that, see? I kept knocking on the door. Finally, the door opened. After about 18 knocks, the door opened, and here's a guy standing there. He's got stubble all over his face, and he's got an old bathrobe on, and this great wave of used bourbon smell come out. Just woo out of the house. I recognize this because he smells like my Uncle Carl smelled. And, you know, great wave. And he looks out, and his eyes look like two little tiny fried eggs. And he looks at me, and he says, what do you want? And he takes one look at my carved mountain goat neckerchief slide. And I could see he focused. What the hell? It's like he's way. He doesn't believe he's even conscious. And he's seeing a carved mountain goat. And he looks at it, and he says, get away, get away, get away. And he swats at it like he's swatting at a fly. He's hitting me. He says, get out, what is that thing? It's on his neck, get away. He says, can you have some free papers? I'm from football. Get away. He slams the door. Well, now, what does a kid do under that circumstance? Does he leave? No. Just like that. Well, I kept knocking on the door. Well, I'm just leaving, finally, after 20 minutes of knocking on this guy's door. The truck is already halfway down the next block. When I hear the police coming. Well, that morning, Troop 41 collected 17 tons of newspapers, which we took hour after hour back to the junkyard where George the Greek would buy the papers for, 2 cents a ton, something like that. And so we'd take a whole truckload of papers. It took us 18 hours to collect. We'd go back, and he'd unload it and give Mr. Gorton 8 cents. Well, we did this hour after hour, late into the night. And people have a surprising amount of used newspapers in their basement. Once in a while, you hit a guy that his whole basement is filled with newspapers. And, you know, he looks at you like a god and says, oh, my God, you're going to take my papers. And we'd unload all this guy's papers, and the mice are running out, and the guy's got owls in the basement, and toadstools growing up on the newspapers. In fact, we brought back newspapers that described the fall of Gettysburg. Some people had newspapers going back to the early days of the beginning of Christianity. You know, things like a Renaissance start. You know, the Medicis announced late yesterday afternoon in the Vatican that this is the official opening day of the Renaissance. And after it was all over, what did Troop 41 buy? What do you think we bought? We bought a set of signal flags, wigwag signal flags, which we hung up on the wall in the church basement where we met. I don't recall anybody ever learning how to wigwag with a signal flag. But it was a great weekend, and I learned one thing. I learned the futility of commerce. Work your old thing to the bone, and what do you wind up? With a pair of signal flags. Signifying nothing. Smoke and fury, old flame, burn in thy holocaust, burn. WOR New York. Stay tuned for In Conversation.